Okay. Oh man. All right. Evening all. We are moving on to page 46 in the Tsuba book. We're in the middle of discussing all the various preparations for Shabbos. And here is a specific din that we find in Masechet Pesachim, note 39, quotes a Mishnah, a Gemara, a Braita from Pesachim Tzadi Tetam Ubet, which tells us as follows, that if we eat a meal on Erev Shabbos the same way that we would eat a proper full meal during the week, then a number of things can happen. Number one is that we take away from the appetite of Shabbos. Number two, we dishonor Shabbos in that regard. And number three, if we're going to mamish prepare a full meal, we'll end up taking away time to do that, then instead of investing in preparing for Shabbos. Those are the three potential reasons to explain this din that the Shulchan Aruch brings down the Halacha Lamaisa. So here is the actual quote. The Tanya, we learned in a Braita, a person should not have a meal, shouldn't eat on our Erev Shabbos as in Yom Tov, mina mincha ulemala, from mincha time onward, so he can actually get into Shabbos with an appetite. Rabbi Yossi argues and holds that a person can eat all the way through until it's actual Shabbos itself. Doesn't think it's necessary to take a break. Now, what's interesting is that whenever there's a well, when there's a machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, interestingly enough, is generally an opinion that's followed, and here is no exception. Strictly speaking, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi that you can eat all the way through until Shabbos. What about the concerns that I shared with you? So here we have to see exactly how this plays itself out. So another Gemara quotes a particular little anecdote. The Gemara says, Masechet Gittin, Amchet Amubet, Gemara says, Am Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Shtei Mishpachot Ayu B'Yerushalayim. There were two families in Yerushalayim. Achat Kava Asudata B'Shabata, V'achat Kava Asudata B'Erev Shabbat. Ushteihen Ne'ekru. There were two families who really suffered badly. One family was uprooted because of the suspension of Torah study. The other one was because they prepared a fixed meal on Friday and violated this particular din. And so we need to understand exactly how the story and the din in the Mishnah actually work. So Rashi explains that when the Gemara says, when the Braita says, Lo ya'achal adam barvei shabbatot, person shouldn't eat on Erev Shabbos, Rashi clarifies that that means Erev Shabbos proper. V'chein b'chol yom merov osher. The note I'm reading is on page 47, note 41. And these families were very, very wealthy, so therefore they could actually splurge and have big meals on Erev Shabbos as well. But yeah, aval baha mika mia ika isura shikanais to Shabbat kishu sovaya belo ta'ava. Yeah, the problem is that they did not honor Shabbos properly, and as a result of the big meal, Friday night meal was kind of like a regular meal. They weren't. Anyway, the question is eating completely asur or there's certain parameters?
Is it specifically between Mincha and Shabbos?
Yeah, so mincha is a question as to what mincha we're talking about. So we'll see in a second, once we work out the nature of the meal, we'll see exactly when mincha is. So if you're following me in the Rambam, note 42, the Rambam says, Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed, Halacha Daled, Asur lekvoa seudah u'mishteh be'erev Shabbat mipnei kvora Shabbat. Umutar le'echol v'lishtot asher techshach. So on the one hand, says the Rambam, you can't Koveya Asuda, have a regular meal. Or Suda could even mean a very special meal, right? Sudeu Mishte sounds like it's quite elaborate. But there's no prohibition to actually eat. You don't have to fast. So says the Rambam, even though you're allowed to eat until it gets dark, a person in honor of Shabbos should not koveya a suda from mincha onward. So yeah, the Magid Mishnah qualifies what the Rambam is saying. Says the Magid Mishnah, Note 43, if it's an elaborate meal, one which you don't normally have on a regular basis, that will be asur to put on Erev Shabbos. No matter when during that day, having such an elaborate meal is a problem all of Erev Shabbos. And that is what that story, Masechet Gittin, is referring to. That these families put on a spread, right? However, but when it's we're talking about eating, just that you won't fast, eating that you will just not be hungry, without a kviat suda, you know, there, a regular meal we would call it. Afilu suda shiragil b'chol kol hayom mutar la'atchil umvuar kain beperek arve psachim ukerabi Yossi. So
it's okay.
so again, what's Asur on Erev Shabbos in terms of the nature of the meal that you're not allowed to put on? Does it? You're not allowed to put on a fancy meal, a meal that is that somebody who walks in there goes, whoa, what a spread. In other words, it's not a regular meal. Not even if you and the, even these guys who were these families that were blessed to have means, it's not personally it's not nice to have a huge spread on Erev Shabbos. It's like, you know, it's not a covered Shabbos story. And that's Asur the whole day. When Rabbi Yossi comes along and says you can eat until dark, what Rabbi Yossi is saying is that a regular meal that you would normally have on a regular weekday, that you can in theory have all the way through until Shabbos. So Friday lunchtime, you could sit down and have a proper lunch if you wanted to. Get a proper lunch. However, if having that proper lunch is going to affect your appetite, then make sure that you have enough hours after that lunch, you know, that you're already at least coming into Shabbos, you know, ready to eat another meal. So that's the din about stopping to have a regular meal from Mincha onward. And this idea that you can eat all the way through until Shabbos, in other words, not fasting, that's like munchies. You can walk into the kitchen, you know, hop some of what's going on in there. Just to make sure it's all good.
Yeah, you have to take the
Yeah.
move.
So there are three levels within the Rambam of what we call a suda or eating. You know, an elaborate meal, a regular meal, and the munchies. That's basically what we find over here.
In remote. In Israel, they do like an all-you-can-eat buffet just on Fridays.
Right, so that would be interesting.
It ends at like 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
Does it? Yeah. Oh, okay.
For breakfast.
I don't know. I wondered when I learned this halacha first, I wondered if that would be a problem because we were in Haravah and we wanted to go.
And it's such good value.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You can't breathe when you're done.
You just don't eat all week and then
yeah.
It ends.
Yeah, so that would be an interesting question according to this. You know, this would be an interesting question.
But by shops, didn't it?
Yeah, Shabbos can still
What if it's
be.
winter?
Oh.
11 to 4.
Yeah, you still be hungry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a question. I mean, it would be a question. I think what one could suggest is that how unusual is it for people to go and have a breakfast every morning if costs weren't a factor on a regular day? Would you do that on a regular day?
Well, they can only do it because
Shabbos is off. I know. I'm saying in reality, the average person. But
if you would do it on a regular day, then it's not a
problem. Yeah, so I would say that is the breakfast there so out of this world that, you know, you couldn't do this day in, day out, or you couldn't do it a couple of times a week?
Well, an all-you-can-eat buffet can probably satisfy that.
Such a bad concept. Oh, my gosh. I think they do it on Fridays. Fridays like Sunday.
No, I get why they do it. I'm just saying that most of us who are in Israel on holiday, you know, so we would go multiple times a week for out for breakfast.
Because it's so different to that than say eating in a hotel when they have a smorgasbord.
Correct.
Because that's normal. That's what you do. You come down your breakfast. It's not like one kind of special thing.
No, but I'm saying like it's sort of going to the Rimon, you know. Open buffet is like being in a hotel where you would go every day. If you're in a hotel for 2 weeks, the chances are that you'd go down to the hotel breakfast every single day. You know?
How is it the same thing?
But you know what?
The only same thing is that there's a breakfast buffet, but how is it the same thing? This is one-off special thing you pay individually.
To you, it's a one-off. But, you know, because you don't do it every day. But if you were to do it every day, would it be unusual to do that?
Yes. Truth is, when you stay at a hotel, the first day you go berserk, then you know what you like.
Speak for yourself, Publix.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually speaking for me in a hurry. We'll do the hotel.
Yeah.
You try everything and then you go, okay.
Yeah.
You just have your food to
you. You know.
Yeah.
I don't need all the fish, steak, and whatever.
What I'm saying is that you've got this interesting point of view where you can say, man, for certain people that is not normal, that is unbelievable. I don't do it on a Friday. For other people, they would be right in saying, look, the truth is, if we went in a hotel, we would do this. It's an open buffet there, it's an open buffet here, same thing. What's the enough coming exactly?
It's different because you're specifically going with the intent to overeat and to pay for that experience.
I'm saying, like, in a hotel, it's the same thing. In a hotel, you like you're on holiday and you're just basically in there.
But I think the difference is that in the hotel, you need to eat breakfast in the morning, and that's where breakfast is. Happens to be it's a buffet, but it's like Rimon, as Leah says, you're going specifically to like eat.
I understand what the motivation is, but the nature of the meal that you eat there.
Oh, I see. That's
the nature of the meal that you eat there, you know, is it of exceptional quantity that you would say, hey, I'm violating Kavod Shabbos?
The answer is clearly yes.
Well, I don't know if it's clear.
Well, yeah. From your experience, do you go there to overeat or do you go there because there's certain things that you like and you would choose?
To overeat.
Yeah, is that the question or is that the question?
But I think it depends on your age and stage. See, when you're a sem girl.
Yeah, and you
have a massive meal for 50 shekels, it's like for sure you're going to overeat. But
and I think
because you're poor, you haven't eaten the whole week.
I think that let's start this way. We suggested based on the Mefarshim that they're one of three reasons that a big meal on Erev Shabbos is a problem. So number one is that you would be taking away time from preparing for Shabbos proper. So yeah, you could argue that in today's day and age. No, it wouldn't be. You know, because you can knock up food quite quickly. You can either buy it or knock it up.
If I'm having Shabbos, I'll be up at like 6 starting soup and I won't leave the kitchen until Shabbos comes in.
That was the first few.
Are you
on Sunday before?
Yeah. What I'm saying is let's not work out exactly what you do or don't do. More like the logic works that somebody could argue that, you know, to knock up the Shabbos, you know, I need a few hours, you know, and you know, and therefore going to breakfast on a Friday afternoon, Friday morning, would not necessarily interfere with that. You know, number two, the question is, so that particular swara, that logic of various Mephoshim, Magen Avraham and others, that you know, because of your involvement in making the current Friday meal, you're taking away time from working on Shabbos. I don't know. That you know, if it is that way, then it'll be a problem. If it's not that way, then it's okay. Now, if you say no, that the issue is that you are mezalzel in Kavod Shabbos, you're denting the Kavod of Shabbos because there's nothing special about Shabbos because you're eating a Shabbos meal on Friday. So then you could say, okay, look, you know, that's what I have to worry about. I have to worry about such a meal that makes the Shabbos meal look and feel ordinary. Yeah. And then the third consideration is the concept of appetite. They sort of dovetail, but the concept of appetite. So this is what you'd have to ask yourself. I think many people, in the way that Jews celebrate Shabbos today, does pose a problem. In other words, all these pre's, you know, the pre-Shabbos for bringings, you know, are run into this challenge that everyone wants the social. So you're gonna have like if shul's at 7 o'clock in summer, you know, so at 5 o'clock you get together with everybody at your home for l'chaims and biltong and munchies or whatever. So it's, on the one hand, it's a fantastic exercise because it's very social and wonderful. Number two, you could argue it's Kavod Shabbos. I don't do this on a weekday. But number three, it affects proper Shabbos proper. Like when you come into Shabbos, you know, are you famished and just want to, you know, you can't wait to like down a challah and have chicken soup. So I think that's a lot of the problems. And these, I don't know what you call them, but these pre-Shabbos engagements, you know.
So is that, what about a Kiddush shul Friday night? Would that be the same thing?
No, so there, I mean, we'll get to that whole discussion of how that beast was raised. But in terms of this, because you've made Kiddush, that's your Suda. Well, you know, we'll get into that if that's an ideal thing. But from what I saw over here, you know, and heard about all over the world, it evolved a bit because the social came first with the l'chaims and everything else like that. Then probably some conscientious objector, some rov, pointed out to everybody, hey, it's not great. You know, either you're so smashed already, you can't even daven properly. Number two, you know, you're so full already, really, your appetite's gone. You know, and what happened to the Kavod Shabbos over here, you know? And then it evolved to eventually, so somebody asked the Rav, how can we get around this? So, well, look, have a Kiddush. Oh, we can have a Kiddush. That's fine. So let's have the Kiddush. So they'll make Kiddush. And people will have Kiddush after Friday night before going home. You know, like you do.
They do with the priests.
I think most people just keep them going. They do both. I think the priest, you know, some people argue that, again, as I say, I don't want to diss it completely, but some people argue that it's no, you know, like I think especially youngsters, if they, you know, youngsters or a different breed. But you know, teenagers, young adults, you know, they like on fire, you know. So my kid will say to me, I can eat a cow, man. I can eat the peas, I can eat the challah. No problem on the appetite, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, hard to argue, but it sounds a little illogical, right? But okay. You know, they say that, but I...
No, we can eat.
And exactly, like how... Yeah. Yeah, thing. I don't think... I don't know. Have to. I'm a bit skeptical on this.
Especially when they freeze and especially weights for Shabbos.
Yeah, that's. I think, look, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Also, they like wearing a gay vagina.
No, I know. Look, but you know, sometimes you can't argue. There is a concept psychologically, and it might even be, you know, it might even be a physical thing. But if a person has certain munchies, right, that stimulates appetite. You know, so you have a little bit to eat, and it gets you going, and you're ready to go for more. But depending on how you're having all of this, you know, whiskey with pretzels and chips and biltong and dry wurst and sushi and vodka and that's what goes on. Yeah, in Shul over here, you've got it right. Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm just saying, but
it's not for us.
Yeah. Oh, it's only an exclusive thing.
No, it's not an exclusive thing. It's for not people who are not. Don't have jobs till 5 o'clock and then come home and have to shower and get kids ready and come to school and get your six winters.
You know, this the whole exercise can be argued as one of unbelievable Kabbalah Shabbos because, you know, you don't do it on the Thursday.
They're doing it to get the youth in.
Yeah, okay, so that's why it came about, the Kiruv, the everything. You know, all of those things, I have the feeling that even if you could get around the halachic parameters, I think that the ruach of it is not right.
Right.
You know, I could also be biased that we grew up, you know, that Shabbos is, you know, like, especially Friday night meal is like the highlight of everything. And you come there and that's where all the dynamics are. And after Friday night meals, you'd go hang with your chavarim and Tisha Ryan, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know,
that's a good point. Kind of get to there. But
things are... I think so, but people could argue. People argue with me. I mean, and I might not.
People might say that those individuals that are coming to that are not going to a Shabbos dinner like we would make, possibly.
Not now,
they don't have those traditional.
Yeah.
Possibly they don't have those traditional settings for a Shabbos dinner.
So you've got the three reasons to consider. You know, you want to be good about Kavod Shabbos. Those are the three reasons to consider. You know, which is the main reason? You know, is it coming into Shabbos with an appetite, you know, or is it the kavod of Shabbos? And I think that would probably be, I think the kavod of Shabbos, they dovetail. But I think there is a difference that, you know, When the halacha is specific, talking about not the pre's that we're talking about, that's mutar, because that's like just munchies, right? The isur was having an elaborate suda, you know, that unbelievable suda that you don't normally have during the week. You know, that's mezalzel and kavod Shabbos, you know. So that would probably be the issue over there. Now, this would obviously become an interesting challenge, which we confront this every now and then, because we have obligations to have sudot mitzvah on Erev Shabbos. So somebody has a bris, pidyon haben, you know, it's Purim, you know, we've had it a couple of times. You know, there was always this issue about having a sudat Purim on Erev Shabbos and the question of trying to control things so that you still came into Shabbos, you know, with an appetite. So, anyway, bottom line is there, you know, the minag is to be making on when there's an obligation for a full-on suda, you know. Once it becomes a sudat mitzvah, the sudat mitzvah will, let's say, override the hidur of kavod Shabbos. That's where I think it's, I think it's going. Okay, so anyway, that's basically this din that you don't have to fast until Friday night, but you can have what you want. You can have anything to eat if it's just on the fly. Watch not denting your appetite for Shabbos, and having a big fancy meal is a no-no. But having a regular meal is possible if you do it, before Mincha. Now, Mincha is fulfilled in one of two areas, meaning the Tfilah Mincha can be davened what we call Mincha Gedola, which is a half an hour after midday, Chatzot, or Mincha Katana is 9.5 hours into the day. So we would be makil on this. In other words, not eating from Mincha Lamala, that's Mamash Chatzot, that's midday, that's quite hard because you've got nothing then, until you get into Shabbos, except a manchi or something. But ideally, one should watch Mincha Katana coming up. So in a day from 6 to 6, so Mincha Katana would be at 3:30. So from 3:30, when Shabbos is coming in at 6, that's when you shouldn't be having lunch. On the fly, fine. Lunch, questionable. Will it dent your appetite or not? And a big suda, like you'd have at a bris milah or something. If it's a sudat mitzvah, fine. Otherwise, don't do it. That's how we normally come out with the sabach. Okay. Related to this idea of preparing for Shabbos is probably this halacha that we have, which some of us find a lot harder than others. And that is that just as there's a sensitivity to watch out for Kavod Shabbos with what you eat, there's a sensitivity with regard to doing melacha Erev Shabbos. Similar, we discussed the idea about travel on Shabbos. So if you look on page 50, this is what we find. The Gemara says, Psachim Dafnun Amud Bet, the Tanya, we learned in a Braita, or similar Chabe, Arve Shabbatot, Yamim Tovim. Person engages in Melocha, which we'd have to define on Erev Shabbos or Yontov, Minamin Chol Amara, Eino Roe Siman Bracha Leolam. We'll never ever see, we'll never see a Brocha from this engagement. So again, the same debate, Mincha Gedola or Mincha Katana. When does that kick in? And the question is, what is melacha over here? How do we define melacha in this particular scenario? Now, of course, melacha can be defined as anything that's in violation of Shabbos. So melacha, right? Melacha can be expanded to include anything that takes up time or effort. Melacha can be even more expanded to like, even if it doesn't take up time, it just violates, Shabbos, halachas, whatever, like switching on a light, that's melacha. So when the Braita over here says that you won't see siman brocha from this, what kind of melacha are we doing? So the Rishonim give examples. Person who's writing, is a sofer, writing a Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs, put your quill down, come Mincha Gedola. Don't get involved in something that once you're involved in it, it's going to schlep you away from anything. And and others would say, no, that's a real Machmir opinion. We're looking for Mincha Katana. So again, there's the same Machloket. Shulchan Aruch brings both of the opinions down, and the Mishnah Bura qualifies that if a person is lenient, they're in good hands. And the nature of the melacha is, the Rama points out in note 54, b'davka kesheoseh ha-melacha derech keva. It's a regular fixed work. With fixed work, that means like it takes an invested amount of effort to do that kind of job. But if there's something that's like a melocha al pi Shabbos alochas, but doesn't you know schlep your time. It's just you're fixing something. You do no problem. That's fine. So if you're writing a letter to your friend in those days, right, as opposed to writing a Sefer Torah, there's a difference over there. You're doing a research paper and you're busy writing, or you're just typing a note, or there it would be, you know, that kind of a story. You know, you've got to like do some repair work, you know, sewing on buttons, I don't know, fixing little tzatzkiri things all over the place. That will be fine. That will be fine. The irony of it all is that there's a classic exemption here from the definition of melocha, you know, for business. Business is muta. And I say irony because in our day, today's day and age, right, that takes the most amount of time. Meaning, like, if you're engaged in commerce, the ins and outs, the bits and pieces that you do, and, you know. Anyway, bottom line is that...
Could it be because it doesn't require that extra mental engagement? It's just like continuing. That's what you do all the time. So it's not like applying yourself in that way that's going to distract you, like it's just normally what you do.
I don't know. I didn't see that. I think what's interesting is that a person can open your shop and keep your shop open, selling your whatever's in your shop, your sorim or whatever you're selling. You can keep the shop open until so that you won't violate Shabbos. But that's not considered a melocha, interestingly enough. Like, as I say, it's much harder for me to digest that, that a person is allowed to keep their shop open. But you're telling somebody they can't, you know, they can't write a mezuzah. Now you say, oh, mezuzah, it'll take me 3 hours to write. I don't know how long it'll take, right? But bottom line is, keeping your shop open means you're there for you.
Rushed and then you don't
that's what I'm thinking, like a level of concentration or seriousness.
Yeah, but it doesn't, I don't know, it could be, but it could be that that's what it means, that if you engage in the type of work that needs full concentration as opposed to just sitting there selling stuff.
Mm.
Maybe because when you're just selling stuff, that's what I mean by business. It doesn't engage your, you know, there's no skill in selling something in a store.
Right? I think when you're doing this sort of stuff, aware how this is coming in, you keep checking your watch, you keep checking that you can you do it. I think that's not a way to do it.
Yeah, it's interesting that that's specifically the example.
Yeah.
Also, as opposed to like a high stakes business deal or something.
I would expect that ideally a person would stop engaging in serious business deals so that you don't get caught up and lose track of time, which I think is the real issue behind all of this. It's just that the example, when they say business, you know, why was it so obvious to them that business was okay? Maybe, Anyway, that's really what we find from here.
Is it just proportional? Like, let's say you work the last few hours between Mincha and Shabbos, that you won't see benefit for those hours, or from
like the money that you make out of that those deals, that work that you do, there won't be a siman brocha from that. So it's like we say similar kinds of things, person who works on Purim, person who works on Tisha B'Av. There's no siman brocha from that melocha. So that's why we say, okay, look, you don't have a choice. You're going to get fired. You know, there's going to be a big loss. There's going to be a loss. Okay, so we won't impose it upon you because it's not a melocha. Like, you know, it's not like it's asur to do it. But if everything is neutral and there's no loss and you're just trying to make a profit, Hashem will get you on that. And the same thing is true, you know, the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah talks about people traveling on Erev Shabbos. You know, that person should not walk more than 3 parsaot, you know, on Erev Shabbos. So a parsa normally is 2 kilometers, let's say. 4 kilometers. So to walk, you know, bottom line is, you know, when you try and apply it to today, you've got to make sure that you're traveling, that you don't really just make it by the skin of your teeth. I know, I'm saying we all struggle with that.
What did you say?
Yeah, that happened to us much.
Definitely increases like out of the Shabbos when you get there on time and it's like you arrive in that final.
So I think there's like 2 parts to the arriving at the 90th minute. When you arrive at the 90th minute, there's an assumption in the Gemara that's telling you that, oh, you can't possibly do that. You've got no time to prepare for Shabbos. But if you're not preparing for Shabbos, you're being hosted somewhere. So you just have to rock up at the last minute, just as long as you're in time for Shabbos. Then you wouldn't be violating this thing.
In time to do something to prepare for Shabbos.
Yeah. So in other words, the thrust of the Gemara seems to be that, you know, don't leave it to the last minute, that you won't have any time to prepare for Shabbos. Yeah. So therefore, then all you have to worry about is not breaking Shabbos. So make sure you've got enough time. So I think that's more or less where this is going.
Is that correct? Would traveling in that case be your preparation for Shabbos?
Yeah, that would be fine. As long as you don't
the mitzvah of preparing for Shabbos.
Yeah, you got no. Yeah. You don't have to be at a certain place with enough time to prepare for Shabbos. Someone's prepared for Shabbos. You just have to be there before Shabbos.
But like your mitzvah prepared for Shabbos.
I mean, it could be a kind of that preparing because you're driving somewhere to celebrate or keep Shabbos there. But anyway, there's an interesting phrase that the Aruch HaShulchan writes here. He says... Valpirov. He says, majority of the time, Hasatan Mekatreg Be'er of Shabbos. You know, the Tokolosh is waiting for you on Shabbos, you know, Be'er of Shabbos. And therefore, there's a Yetzer Hara there. There's kind of like, I'm very guilty of this. I was anyway. It's just your nature, I guess. But, you know, you just leave things to the last minute, or you hitchhike at the last minute. You get a thrill trying to get there at the last minute.
It's definitely
so, a bunch of wasn't I don't get points for that. And again, Aruch HaShulchan has a whole description of how in his town, in Nevardok, he was the Rav there. He shut the shops at Chatzot. Made a takona, you know. That's it. Shops closed in honor of Shabbos. And that became the minag in the town. Amazing thing. Just, you know, conditioned everybody to...
different atmosphere.
That's it, yeah. It was an amazing thing. Yeah, that's the issue, you know. Well,
the question is, if you do Kovat Shabbos, do you just... all day?
You know, so the question now is, when everyone says, you know, be careful about arriving, Od Hayom Gadol, that's the halacha they say, until, you know, when it's still day with quite a bit of time, you know, how do you translate that, you know, to, you know, so bottom line is that don't travel on a Friday. You know, ideally you should have your situation sorted out by Thursday night. But most of us don't operate that way. So then essentially what you have to do is you need to try and obviously work out how long it's going to take you. And the recommendation from, let's say, modern day poskim is to try and double the time. So if, let's say, let's say it takes you, I don't know, you're driving from here to St. Ives for Shabbos. When there's traffic, we all know that it takes 50 minutes to an hour, possibly, in heavy traffic. So in order not to violate causing trouble, you'd go, 2 hours, 1.5 to 2 hours before. That's the kind of thing that you'd have to, Okay. There's a lovely little anecdote here about preparing for Shabbos. Page 58. How good is that? So Rav Shach was once on the run in war ravaged Europe. He was a guest in someone's home. He was learning in a room on Friday afternoon while the family was preparing for Shabbos. He heard the baby crying in the bedroom. He went into the room, took the baby out of the crib, and placed the infant into a stroller. The mother was puzzled by the long, quiet spell from her cranky infant and went to check. She found Rav Shach with his Gemara in his right hand, moving the stroller back and forth with his left, while murmuring, "Lichvod Shabbos Kodesh." He explained, "I'm a guest. I have no involvement in Shabbos preparations. This is the least I can do to alleviate some of your pressure." So, yeah. Kavod Shabbos. So, babysitting is part of the Kavod Shabbos. Takes off the pressure. So you should have in mind that everything you do, is the Kavod Shabbos, etc. So, interesting, a remark from the Rav, from Rav Soloveitchik. Having in mind or declaring specifically that all of one's activities are to prepare for Shabbos is a wonderful way to transform one's Friday from an ordinary day that happens to come before Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Every activity one does is not simply another activity. It connects one to Shabbos and brings a little of the holiness of Shabbat into Friday. So Rav Soloveitchik writes in Al HaTshuva about the importance of being an Erev Shabbos Jew in addition to a Shomer Shabbos Jew. That's a good thing. So he writes as follows. He says, "True, there are Jews in America who observe Shabbos, but it's not for Shabbat that my heart aches. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbos. There are Shabbos observing Jews in America, but there are no Erev Shabbos Jews who go out to greet Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls, and that's why you need the priest."
That's all you need?
The priest.
The Baines.
The Baines. You see? There are many who observe the precepts with their hands and with their feet and or with their mouth, but there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of service of the heart. Says Rav Goldberg in the name of the Rav. I remember Rav Soloveitchik saying in one of his Saturday night lectures at Maimonides School in Boston more than 40 years ago to this effect. A person works on Friday until the last moment. He speeds home, arriving 15 minutes before candle lighting time, then jumps into the shower, then back into the car, then speaks to shul just in time for the beginning of mincha. This is not Shabbos. Holiness requires preparation. Yeah, this is definitely an area to work on.
I was very upset because work wanted me to work on Sunday and have Friday, Saturday as my days off because they wanted me to work on Saturday and I said I can't work on Sunday. I can work Sunday. So knowing this has made it better that I have Friday off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing, yeah. They let you?
Yeah. They gave me Friday and Saturday off, like Shabbos. Instead, and I work from Sunday to Thursday.
What was your job that you could do it on Sunday?
Oh, I can't do it.
Sister retail, okay.
Yeah.
It's not nothing. Because Daniel tried to get a job at Pandora, and they wouldn't give it to her because she didn't want to Saturday.
Oh, yeah? So, they were very interested.
That's pretty amazing that they gave that to you. Wow. Zimmerman's.
Says to be Erev Shabbos observant.
It's a big, it's a lovely musadika vortus.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely
that's also like
feel I'm getting it over the head.
When Erev Shabbos say good Shabbos, it's not. It's like good Erev Shabbos.
Yeah,
like
yeah. It. Yeah. And yeah, it's definitely good, in my genes that, you know, you just like make it by the skin of your teeth somehow. I don't know why.
I'm sure it's not in your genes.
Right. My father was like that. My father exactly was like that. Yeah, jeez. My mother every Shabbos would go nuts, boy.
You know, it's in half your genes then.
Yeah, no, my mother was organized.
But you see, because of that, that's not why you can be disorganized.
But no, so what does that mean?
No, but it's exactly that. We were.
You have an excuse, you have permission. What is that?
Not
you can't.
Yeah, but you do. That's what happens.
And then you do one thing, like you switch on the
fridge. It's not the
point. You switch on the fridge.
Haven't you heard a word?
Where have you been? I'm talking about. They still do something for sure.
Yeah.
It's not
shame,
therefore it's fine.
That
that's the thing.
Okay, so
like
let's just wrap up before.
We're not saying it's fine.
Thank you for the reassurance.
Anyway, so I would say that that's the biggest musar we've had so far, you know?
Yeah.
Become a Shomer Erev Shabbos Jew.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. Yeah.
Very great. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's funny.
All right, so cheers, Shira. Be well. Hope you're all right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, so as I said to you, we're not going to have, we won't be having Shira for the next little